Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Shoftim, Chapter 7. Shalom, we are studying the story of Gideon. And Gideon and his army are now in Emek Israel in the Jezreel Valley. The Midianite army are north of Givat Hamoreh. Givat Hamoreh is the very high hill that overlooks today's Afula. And north of that, between Givat Hamoreh and Har Tavor, is where the Midianite army are. Now, because of that huge hill, they can't see the mobilization of Gideon's army. And Gideon managed to mobilize 32,000 people, one of the largest armies we have in the book of Shoftim. And they come to a place called Ein Charod. Ein Charod is one of the Ma'ayanot in Emek Israel today. And at this point, God says, Rav Amashe Itcha Mititi Et Midyan Biyadan Penit Pa'er Alai Yisrael Leimor Yadi Hoshia Li. There are too many people that I can deliver Midyan in their hands. Because if 32,000 people defeat Midyan, people will say, this is our own prowess. This is our own skill and our own bravery. And therefore tell the people that whoever's mi yarei v'chared, whoever is scared, can go and watch Yashov v'yitzpor. In Israel, when you go to a lookout, it's sometimes called a mitzpor, a place which you look out like from a bird. They can go and sit on Har HaGilad, as later on we find out, Har HaGilboa. And indeed, 22,000 people abandoned the army and only 10,000 are left. This is really a fascinating feature of the war, that God insists that they go to war with very, very few men. And we're going to see that there is both a strategic aim and a spiritual aim. I hope you all notice the pun in the Hebrew that at Mayan Charod, God says, Mi yarei v'chared. Charod, chared, these word plays are fabulous. God then says, no, there are still too many people. 10,000 is too many. And he gets a test. Anybody who goes on their knees and draws the water from Ein Charod with his hands to his mouth is going to be disqualified. But anybody who sort of lies on the floor and laps up the water with their actual mouth, they will be allowed in the army. And in the end, it's only 300 men who are left. What is the nature of this test? Here, Rashi and the Ralbag have a wonderful debate. Rashi says that the test is that those who are on their knees, the problem is being on their knees. Heim lemudim lichra lifnei avodah zara. They are used to worshipping idolatry where you kneel. I have to say, it's interesting because I imagine in ancient times they kneeled to God as well. But this is at least Rashi's interpretation, that the people who are disqualified on spiritual grounds. Whereas the Ralbag says something different. He says that somebody who's kneeling in order to lap up the water with their, in order to pick up the water with their hands, is somehow has to put his weapon down. He has to be in a situation whereby he is holding both his hands for the water and his weapons on the floor, and he's not battle ready. But somebody who lies on the floor can still keep his hand on his sword and using one hand to lap the water into his mouth. That is a person who is really a battle-ready soldier. It's interesting because Rashi is looking for a spiritual marker, whereas the Ralbag says, no, the critical thing of choosing the 300 men are men who are able to be, who really know the art of war. And indeed, it is at night that Gideon chooses the strategy, and he takes these 300 men, and each of them take a shofar. And we're going to soon see they each take a jar and a torch. Gideon is Gideon, always needs some sort of reassurance. And therefore God says to him, tonight is the night. We're going to attack. Ve'im yareata. But if you are scared, then go down with your man with you, with your assistant, and listen to what the people in the camp are saying. And he goes down to the camp. And he sees, he hears somebody reporting a dream. And in the dream, you've got a barley, a roll of maybe barley, hay or something, rolling into the camp of the Midianites. And it knocks down the tents. And the person who he's talking to said, that is the sword of Gidon of Yoash. Interesting that they knew his name, the Midianites. For God has delivered his hands into Midian. Quite an amazing event. But Gidon hears this. He bows down to God and off they go. And this war has been seen as a wonderful example. The legend goes that Ord Wingate, the British army officer who trained the Haganah, used to read with them this story from the Bible, because he said that the small number of Haganah fighters could defeat a primitive and disorganized Arab army if they used methods such as Gidon's. What do? They divide into three divisions, and in the middle of the middle watch, when people are at their deepest sleep, they each come blowing a shofar. Remember, a shofar is usually used by the mufaked, by the general. But if you hear 300 shofarot, you assume you are being attacked by 300 divisions. And then they smashed all of their jars. So there's a feeling that everything is smashing all around. And they're all there with lapidim, burning things, blowing the shofarot. So far, they haven't even, it seems like they've got their shofar in one hand and their torch, their flaming torch in the other. They haven't even unsheathed their swords. However, what happens is, and the phrase here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph is, V'yamdu ishtachtav saviv lemachaneh. And it says, this is the phrase, V'yasem Hashemet cherev ish bereehu. The people woke up. They didn't know who was their enemy, who was their friend, and each man plunged their sword into their neighbor. V'yanas hamachaneh ad beit hashita. They go to Beit HaShita and they try and get over the Jordan. And it is this point when Gidon is on the attack with all of his 32,000 people who have been lying in wait, people from Naphtali, Asher and Manasseh. And in the meantime, Gidon sends Har Ephraim, the people further down south, and tells them, capture all the border crossings of the Jordan, because that way you'll be able to destroy all of these people. And indeed, they have a decisive victory, even catching some of the generals. I love what happens here. Two of the generals, interestingly called by animal names, an Orev, a raven, and a Ze'ev, a fox. And Orev and Ze'ev are killed. And they even say the places get named, because this is the most significant that's happened there. Tzor Orev, the rock of Orev, and they are... And the other place is Yekev Zev. Obviously, he went into a Yekev, he went into a winery, and that is where he was murdered. And from then on, those places were named like that, because that was the most famous thing that ever happened in any of those places. Whichever way, this is the exciting, swashbuckling story of Gidon's phenomenal victory, and all of his hesitation, and all of this preparation really came to an amazing victory. This reminds us maybe of Avram's victory. Avram defeated the kings of Mesopotamia, the four kings, with 318 men, Chanichei Beito. And Gidon here seems to be reflective of Avraham's victory there. Whichever way, this is one of the heroic moments in the book of Shoftim. Tomorrow, we will be dealing with questions of Jewish unity, which come up from this story. Tune in tomorrow. Thank you.